Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
UPS is hiring Daysort warehouse workers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying $20 an hour and offer great benefits, including up to $25,000 in tuition assistance. Eligibility begins the day you're hired. Shift your future, shift your team, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference.
Injured in a car accident? Visit SueDistractedDriver.com.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, it's time for the Diener Show. Presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Yeah, all you time purists out there, you know, 7:04 today. So, you know what I got to say? Eat it. Eat it, time purists. Oh, Mark sounds very loud.
Ooh.
Very, very loud.
I promise I'm very, very, very quiet.
Yeah, because when he gets going on that thing, the microphone may break into two.
That's right. No, I'm very subdued. And Drew was there at like 7:01, 7:02,
yeah.
Maybe earlier. Possibly maybe,
yeah,
earlier.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was all about the regular production of the show.
I think it was Nick Valvano urging us on the air. It was underlay, underlay, underlay. That's what it was. He, instead of Italian, he was speaking Spanish. How do you say underlay in Spanish? I don't even know what underlay means.
I think that means like go or something like that.
Go
like
maybe you should say
it's a command, like go. Like
you say the go lay. when like I hear the open. You know, maybe you should say underlay.
Underlay, yeah, there we go.
It means come on
or whatever it is in Italian. Well, if it's one thing Valvano's are known for, it's punctuality. So yes,
yeah, yes, that's right. That is a undeniable fact. There, yes, punctuality.
Hurry, come on, or let's go. That's what underlay means.
Okay. Riva, underlay, underlay. So I don't know what the Riva means.
Riva, let me see.
You know what I'm talking about. You know, Speedy Gonzalez, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They haven't canceled him yet, right? I hope not.
I don't know. There's probably something, you know, that he couldn't do. That, you know,
but he's
I don't
fast
know. I'm
lovable.
Scared.
Like,
it's an exclamation of pleasure or approval.
Oh,
Arriba.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
It is
mark that down.
So underlay. Yeah. Arriba. Yes. You've now moved fast.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Probably can't say that, Nick. You nailed it. 7:06. We found another thing you can't say, and we discovered it. I don't even know how we discovered that. You know,
Nick Valvano, man.
Nick Valvano, yeah.
On the air, 90 seconds. Literally,
yeah,
90
and
seconds.
We're already wandering.
It's
not
the power
that we were going to be.
Valvano.
Yeah, not that we were going to be on a path today, but I hear an echo. By the way, Nick, your Zoom isn't muted. There you go. There you go. Riva, her underlay.
Riva,
get that muted. The mute button. It's you hit it and it says top.
The
left,
one that says mute.
Here, how about I do this for you? Mute all. How about that?
There you go.
I don't know. It's not letting me. For some reason, yeah. Mute all. All right, you're muted, Nick. On the because I do hear
all
the
there
echo.
You go.
Yeah, you got it. I don't think so. It's still showing. It's still it's going. So I don't know. We've only done this 40 times, but and I don't know why I'm the only one that insists on this. It's I'm at the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios, so it's nice knowing if somebody's back there on something and running around like a chicken with their head cut off. It's nice. It's nice to not call for them.
Yeah, it is nice that if you are in the remote Liquor Barn Studios to have an awareness of what's going on either in the production studio or here in the actual Liquor Barn Studio. So it's
where Mark's just popping bottles every morning.
Yeah, I mean, just popping bottles.
That's a Liquor Barn Studio.
Today it's Tyler Mountain Water is what we're doing. Tyler Mountain Water in the morning.
Yeah. We got plenty of Focus back there.
I saw it get delivered, but nobody bothered to put it in the fridge.
What are you talking about? I got like two yesterday.
Oh.
Out of the fridge.
Well,
maybe you haven't looked today.
I saw it sitting on the floor, so I didn't think anybody put it in the fridge.
No, there's some in the fridge and some on the floor.
There we go.
No, my favorite though
is fit it all. That was the problem. So
yeah, see, that's the issue.
There we go.
I don't know. Nick can't mute his thing.
Yeah, I'm looking all over for the
damn
mute button.
You hold it. You hold the screen. You push and
I've
hold.
I've done this before. I know.
Push and hold.
I cannot find the effing
mute button. Can you find the button, Nick? Can
no,
you find the button? No,
I
you can't. Your whole life, you've not been able to find the button.
Dude, not with a GPS, but that's neither here nor there. But
it's funny. When I hit mute all, it won't let me mute it. I don't know.
No, I'm serious. I am looking all over. I cannot find the mute button. I've done this before.
Turn it off. Turn it back on.
I've done that.
He just did.
Goodness.
He's tried all the things we know to do. So we'll get into a number of things today. We'll talk with Lloyd Gardner. In a little bit, Dan McDonald's got some things going on. We're actually going to broadcast the last two games of the Pizza Bowl. Yeah, so that's coming up here in a few, I guess a week from Friday, we'll have our broadcast of that. So just adding on little things here and there. And then I assume we'll have trivia as well, and it won't be sick and twisted Jack Grossman trying to make us look as dumb as we possibly can on that. So,
yes.
You know,
name the first element ever. Ever discovered in the area
Country
of Ghana.
Egypt.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
The 1700s.
Mine has candy bars on it. So
good. It's good. Yes.
No, there we go.
It's going to be a lot
more fun. And if we had a trivia company like we used to, you know, partner with that would, you know, give us like the night before's questions or the week before, you know, they're professionals of this. It'd save our guys some time. We could give you some exposure. We could partner with the bar on the nights that you have it. This could be a great partnership, and we could have great questions and not have to work. I mean, we would like you to pay, unlike the last company. That's going to be, you know, like not much, but when your bill comes, like we do,
it's
we would ask that you pay.
Part of running a business.
Yeah, yeah. We're not, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, charge an arm and a leg here. We're just trying to help promote each other.
We do have some weird questions. Like process was always like, who was the 138th pick of the 2002 draft, you know, NFL draft that was held in New York, and who presented the draft pick?
Yeah, who was the tight end that the Jets picked that the fans booed? All of them.
No idea.
Nick is now raising his hand on the Zoom. I didn't even know. I've always seen that button. I've never pressed
this damn button. Like this is. I've done this before.
Like, I just turned the volume all the way down.
I didn't join with audio. That should be helping, right?
There you go. You're fine. You're all fine. Right.
Good Lord.
We'll let you chime in if you want to. 267-968. Dean and Riley, MLB playoffs be on the station. Yeah, when it doesn't conflict with, like, other stuff.
Live
like,
program.
Like Louisville stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bellarmine, if there are. It's funny. I was looking. We will have, when Louisville opens with Bellarmine, we'll have dueling broadcasts.
Oh, really?
We'll have Paul Rogers, you know, on 93.9, and then I guess, I don't know if Doug Ormay is still doing the game.
I think he is still doing the game.
I'm not sure of that. So we'll have dueling broadcast on the opener. I know Scotty D would probably like to do his – you think Scotty D, if he could do his own play-by-play of his game, would do it? I think he's a little too intense, though.
He's a little too intense, and yeah. I don't think that we can really air what he says to the officials.
Yeah, that's a good
point. You know, I don't think we can really do that.
Yeah, exactly.
We only have so many dump buttons that you can actually have for that. So
yeah.
I did ask Scott. I was like, hey, for the Louisville game, I'll be on your bench. And he was like,
you offered that like you were doing a public service.
He was like, he goes, you're not going to be on my bench. You're going to be texting Kenny Payne what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That would require Kenny Payne to speak to someone
in the media.
So
yeah, I have no idea.
I haven't even talked to Paul Rogers yet, for Pete's sake, we found out yesterday.
Oh, I know. No, I wouldn't know how to connect with Kenny Payne at this point. You know, we're how many months in? 7 months into the Kenny Payne, 6 months into the Kenny Payne. I have no idea. I can connect with at least 5 different head basketball coaches in college basketball, but not Louisville's. So.
Yeah. Texter says, pretty good. Congrats, Louisville football, for being first place in the AAC. Yes, that is true, right? Central Florida and South Florida.
That's right. Oh, we're great at beating directional Florida schools. Yeah, I mean, we've got that down pat.
Don't come at us with a direction.
Yeah,
be from the state of Florida. Nick did it. Good job, Nick.
Yes.
What was it? What?
Okay, so when you join without audio, I guess there's some sort of like mini mute mode or whatever. But when you join with audio,
and then you mute yourself.
Yeah, okay, there we go. We did it.
Yeah,
we did it. But wait, if I'm joining
without audio, there shouldn't be audio.
Yeah, just say.
Join with audio and mute it. You know, it generally works.
Yeah,
that works the best.
So now, we did it. I'm just glad I wasn't losing my mind there. All right, cool.
You know, Pat Forty writes a lot that we talk about, and I guess maybe it is now bumped down the college football list, but I didn't realize this number, that so far this year in the NFL, zero head coaches fired And in college football, five head coaches have been fired. Now, there are, in fairness, what, four times the teams in Division One than there are in the NFL. But still, I mean, I just don't understand. I don't agree. I understand if it's like, okay, you've got Herm Edwards and there might be some rules being broken. Mm-hmm. All right? You got Scott Frost. You should have done it before this year anyway. You have a sellout streak. Although there was like, if y'all can wait 2 weeks, save $7.5 million.
I think we might have saved $7.5 million.
So, I think we would have too. Yeah. and that, you know, it's a, you know, with – and that we know there's nothing pure about college athletics, but he does toss in there that, you know, by the way, we'll jump to any conference, no matter what our tradition is, this conference, for more money at any point, we'll leave and say goodbye to it. And that I don't think there's real discussion. I know there's not discussion, like, for people that matter, but I mean, I think from the fans that are, like, with Louisville being 2-3, you can't be realistic about – to me, wanting to get rid of a coach mid-season. I mean, I don't think, no matter how bad it's hard for me to predict what the mood will be or where this season goes. Like, if they lose on Saturday, I still think, you, no matter what happens, Scott Satterfield finishes the season.
Yeah, and you know, Josh Hurd may elect to say, hey, this job's going to be open at the end of the year and we're going to get the process started, but I would let Scott Satterfield finish the year out, maybe with the understanding that he's not going to be back next year. And the reason why, Drew, is who do you hand this team off to?
Well, I heard Luke talking about this yesterday, like with coordinators. But I do remember Dabo Swinney was like the wide receivers coach.
He was, but we don't have, like, okay, Dwayne Ledford, you could have, like, it, you know,
yeah,
of the coaches, you could have done it with Bicknell. You could have done it with Brewer. You could have done it with Ledford. That might have been it.
I just don't think you do it. I think you ride it out the way Tom Jurich did with Steve Kragthorpe. I mean, look, they had lost to South Florida the week before.
Yeah.
You know, and then they played Rutgers on the most depressing game, 11 a.m., Black Friday, dozens of fans in the stands.
Do you have
cold
the attendance?
Day. It's officially listed at 23,000. That means 15 were disguised as empty chairs. You know? I mean,
hey, wait a minute now. There were scores of fans, not dozens.
Yeah. 23,000. Yeah, right. I don't know if there are that many people there, but
Mark, there were not.
I guarantee you could divide it
by two, and there weren't that many there. You were there, I'm sure, that
I
day.
I was there.
That
for
was
sure.
That was the most depressing point.
You know, I was carving in the back of pumpkins like fire crag. You know, on the back of things, you know, like it was fire Kragthorpe. Like,
please tell me you have a picture of that.
I'm sure I do. I probably do.
You
somewhere.
Were carving fire crag into pumpkins.
Into pumpkins. I was doing it backwards and projecting the light onto different things. Like, I was like, fire, get rid of this freaking guy. I want him out of my life. I mean, it was such a bad time for Louisville athletics. And you
what
know,
else did you do? I got to go there for a minute. If you're willing to carve pumpkins, so that's in October.
There was a guy who up and down Lexington Avenue put a fire crag sign on every single tree. Right up by Sacred Heart. You know those trees
God's
I'm talking
work.
About?
Yeah.
You
yes.
Know, like
yes.
going to 64.
Yes. It was doing fire, the Lord's work.
Yeah,
right?
Fire yeah. crag. There were banners hanging from 64. You know, and, you know, we had a proud football program, but, you know, before Steve Kragthorpe came in. Bobby Petrino was 41-9. We were rolling.
And he drove it into the ditch. Yeah.
Into the ditch. I mean, with this.
And then flipped the keys to Charlie Strong. Said, here you go.
Yeah.
And Charlie Strong said, okay, I'll win at least. Him winning six that next year in the regular season.
Yeah.
And then a seventh bowl game was a masterful job.
It was awesome. Well, and I remember, you know, because it didn't really start out that great. And then we were at the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. And I remember being on the golf course with my dad. My phone's going off. Teddy Bridgewater just committed. Mm-hmm. He's got Eli Rogers coming with him. And I was like, you know, that was a moment. And it was in the first year. And Charlie Strong was on his way. And he already had some good recruiting going. But it wasn't until that moment that it really had taken off. And you know,
I mean, they play Kentucky tough in the opener, then you know, they beat EKU. And the game that I think really said, yeah, Charlie's got something with this team, was at Oregon State, because they were down like at halftime. They were misidentifying the strength coach on TV.
Pat Moore.
Pat Moore as Charlie Strong. You know, and but you could see right away the difference in him. But even that being said, I want to go back to the Kragthorpe, because Tom wrote it out. He said, and he supported him until the very last whistle. But the second that game was over, the very next day it was, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, this is over. I knew it was a bad fit from the start. He did, I think, what you do is you publicly support the coach until the very last minute that you're not going to, and then you make a change, and you've already been targeting all season. He'd already been targeting Charlie Strong and asking around, you know, doing the things to lay the groundwork. And I think, like, by that Sunday, he had gone to see him, right? Like,
sure.
Or it was after the SEC championship game. I'm sorry, that was what it was.
Yeah, and I do think that when the signing day is in February, you know, it allows you to ride the season out. You know, when it ends in November, because you have December and January, and then part of February to kind of rally the troops for a recruiting class and things like that. This is a different deal, and I know the coaches and the athletic directors and everybody really kind of balk at the early signing date, because it does put some pressure on the programs to make moves during the season. And I don't know what Louisville will ultimately do. And you know, maybe Scott Satterfield pulls out a magic trick. I don't think he will.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to today come out and say, I'm removing the play calling duties from Brian Brown. I don't think he will, but I think he probably should. And I think that tying himself to Brian Brown ultimately is going to cost him his job. But this is where we are. And I don't believe that Josh Hurd began his coaching search on Saturday. You know, I think that you like always have a list of people that you're chatting with, and that, hey, you know, if my guy wins a bunch, I might be looking for a replacement.
Well,
if he loses
not directly, you know, it's agents and back channels and intermediaries and everything else that goes in between.
Right. You say, hey, you come up, you see an agent, you see a guy from CIAA, and say, hey, and he might even tell you, if that job comes open, he might have some interest in that, you know? You just have very casual conversations throughout your time as an AD, and you just don't enter in a situation like Louisville's entering this year where it's extend or fire and just start today.
You know, going in to keep your ears open, you know, to keep your, you know, lines of communication open. So, yeah, that's – but the one thing I do wonder with some of these schools that are firing their coaches now, look, I don't think it's the right message. I don't think it's – unless, again, you've got, like
Arizona
toxic
State
culture here, you got an Arizona State situation, you know, like, you got that where you just can't – you can't survive. You know, I mean, I don't know why Louisville – wasn't going to survive two more weeks without Bobby Petrino at the helm, because it didn't seem to get any better.
No.
You know, I mean, we saw that once.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was kicking guys off the field who were like, no, I'm not going anywhere.
Right? I think if you had held on to Bobby Petrino through the end of the year, you'd have had maybe 10 to 12 more guys transfer out. I don't know.
I mean, they would have had to wait till the end of the semester, though.
I don't know. I just felt like it was quitting. And they still didn't find any fight or anything.
Yeah, they
like
didn't
that.
Get any. Yeah, that's my whole thing. That didn't change them. You know, Georgia Tech, I don't know. I guess they rallied in spite of their coach and AD being fired. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that happened.
and Wisconsin. Okay, so Wisconsin, Paul Christ.
That's a bizarre one.
Well, Jim Leonard is a head coaching candidate at a lot of other places. Like, his name has been bantered about.
He's the offensive coordinator.
He's the defensive coordinator up at Wisconsin. And it's kind of like Lincoln Riley and Bob Stoops. Like, they did not want to lose Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
And they can say whatever they want to say about Bob Stoops, and they let him kind of step down gracefully and things like that. And Bob Stoops had an incredible record.
Yeah, but they knew they had a superstar.
They did. And I think that's what's happened at Wisconsin. They did not want to lose what they think might be a superstar.
But did USC give anybody, you know, the blueprint of, hey, get rid of him early, and then look, whoa, Lakin Riley wakes up at the day after the Big 12 title game and is already at USC.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't wake up that morning and go, oh, sure, I'll take the call. Who's this? You know, oh, you know what? Moving from Norman, Oklahoma to L.A.? Yeah, I can make that decision in 8 minutes.
Sure.
I mean, no, that discussion had gone on all year, but those discussions can go on all year whether you fire the coach or not. So, I mean, I'm just not, you know, unless it's like as bad as you say with Petrino, where maybe you were going to lose 10-12, guy, then maybe you do it. But as I look back at that, it didn't improve. They were just as bad and just as undisciplined. Who was the player? You remember?
Mickey Crum.
Yeah, said get off the field, and then he was back in the game.
He's back in the game.
Back in the game. You know?
Yeah, I mean that's a guy that should never put on pads for you again. And instead, he was right back into the game. It was a really frustrating time, I think, for everybody. And I don't know. I do think that USC is a different place that can open up and can recruit a Lincoln Riley much more effectively than Colorado can. Mm-hmm. You know, Colorado just filed Carl Durrell. I think that's a tough job. You know, and that's a spot where maybe Bronco Mendenhall probably going to end up, you know, and he wants to get back into coaching. He's very clear that he wants to live and have a ranch in Montana and be able to do that. Okay, Bronco Mendenhall, go to Colorado. You know, like that's the type of thing I can see happening. But for Louisville, if you were to open up, I mean, I don't know that it changes anything. I would love to have conversations about Deion Sanders. I would love to have talk about prime time, things like that. But I don't know that it helps. Like, if Scott Satterfield's got any magic left in him, if there is going to be anything happen, and right now I have no faith that there will be.
But there also doesn't look like there's quit in the team. I mean, you heard Paul say that yesterday.
Fighting. Yeah,
you know, Paul's not afraid to be critical when they're bad. I mean, you heard the call at the end of that game. I mean, Jody and him are calling. They said it's a bad loss. It's a really, really terrible loss.
And I read Jody on his website, you know, after the game. He called it inexcusable. I agree. I think everybody knows that it's inexcusable. I think Scott Satterfield
knows. As does the
administration.
That's why it just this whole, I'm not going to the games. Okay, well, give him the ticket to somebody who will, because the games are still fun. The games are still worth going to. And by not going, your voice is being heard.
There's no doubt. I mean, and there's not a scenario where Josh Hurd and the people who make these decisions don't understand that the football program has to be better than it has been. And look, if you had a backup quarterback, if you had a defense that – the defense is what drives me nuts, but Scott Satterfield made that choice. He made that choice. And it's really tough to live with, and I'm stunned that he didn't come out yesterday with a statement or that, you know, and then today that there's not anything like, hey, we're going to have McGriff, like, you know, call the plays.
But you don't do that. If you're going to part ways, man, you fire a guy. I don't think you demote him midseason.
But if you're telling me that everything's going to remain the same, okay. I mean,
well,
you know, okay.
I think the questions he's going to have to answer today, and you'll hear it at noon, is what's going on with your quarterback?
Yes,
and
definitely.
What did he go through? What concussion protocol did he go through? And, you know, in the age of Tua, you know, what's going on there? There's got to be some questions answered. And one might not have been related to the other. I mean, it's very possible that it wasn't. But, boy, it sure looked like it.
He got knocked in the head pretty good.
So
it was a scary hit, you know, that Malik took. And,
you
know, and maybe he passes protocol, maybe gets sick on the sideline. Maybe and he actually looked okay, you know, when he was actually out on the field. He looked pretty sharp after that. But
then he went under the tent and
it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, the way that Satterfield described the injury, played the soundbite a million times yesterday, he was very vague on the soundbite. And it seemed like for a reason, because he didn't want to say, you know, anything. He didn't want to say the concussion word. Because maybe he did, maybe he didn't.
Well,
he got hit in the head and then ultimately couldn't go back in the game. We're amateur, you know, neurologists going, well, I mean, that kind of looks like it. So. I think he'll have an answer ready for that today.
Sure.
He better. I mean, he better not be surprised when, you know, this is one of those where you miss Tim Sullivan.
We'll be asking
questions,
bro.
Concussion protocols.
Well, I think that you have to have these things in place, and in the NFL, they have an independent doctor that's supposed to be there evaluating these things. And in college,
they had a fall guy, independent doctor, too, down in Miami.
And he got fired.
Somebody had to be the fall guy, right?
Sure.
So
college, these kids are not getting paid as much as they are in the NFL. They don't have a union to protect them. Like, as a college coach, you have to protect your
And I think
athlete.
This staff would – I mean, whatever you think about them not being good coaches – I don't think they're skirting any rules, and that's the last thing I think the staff would do. They're not cutthroat like that.
Like you always
play
say
a guy with a concussion, but I think it needs to be answered because that's all we saw: hit to the head, come back for two plays,
that's
not back in again, under the tent, undisclosed injury. Yeah. Well, part of his body that got hit was his head.
That was it. Yeah. And you know, the thing is like you always say, you don't really know people. From what I know about the coaching staff and the people in here, they all appear to be really good people. So I would not be, you know, as much as I'm unhappy with what has happened on the football field, I don't have any sort of feeling that they put him out there without, you know, putting him in a dangerous position, you know, but you do have to be careful. Like, you have to be very, very careful with concussions and things like that. And he took a shot to the head, and he threw two awesome, the best balls of the day to Huggins Bruce after he got hit. And I was feeling good. I was like, okay, you know, maybe that wasn't as bad of a hit. But
so
then
maybe,
he goes.
So go slap him in the head before the game
God,
next time?
No, God, no. That's not what I'm saying. No.
Just want to make sure.
No, please, God, no.
Just want to make sure. No. Like, if Baker's not saying, somebody go
but
smash him.
I felt good about his condition after I saw those two throws, because he did look pretty
sharp.
But
he didn't go back in. So it requires much more of an explanation than a six-minute Zoom post-game news conference
where
you know, you're not getting it. And so we'll have the Scott Satterfield show tonight. So we'll have that for you right here. So I'm sure Paul will talk with him about that, which I think is his best forum. You know, when you're talking about, I'm sure Paul will ask him about the chop block. You know, I'm sure he'll, like he did the last time, get an explanation. You know, that they turned it in and whatever. Look, nobody really gives him a pass, but I kind of like to know what they said on that. And then I'm sure they'll talk to him about that because, I think that Satterfield's best forum is that.
I think he's the best at conversational when he comes and sits in a chair across from somebody like you or Paul and you know, has that conversation at the podium.
Yeah, one-on-one, he's just much better. I mean, remember how good he was? Well, I guess it was over Zoom where he was so good during COVID that the Today Show wanted him the next
morning. Awesome.
Yeah, he's that good.
He's on every single morning show in the country that morning. And, you know, and I get it. And I've been wanting these guys to work out. Like, I really enjoy them. But there are some unforgivable things on the defensive side of the ball that happened last year that are happening this year. And if you come back with these guys, you're telling me that this
but
is
But it's
your...
still on Satterfield. I am not allowing this to be a Brian Brown discussion. This is a Scott Satterfield discussion.
Scott Satterfield chose that. You know, so like when you have the opportunity to change it and you don't change it and you come back with the same
guy. You also don't have a backup quarterback and you've had 4 years to get one. Yeah. So, I mean, this is both sides of it because, I mean, there's two games you could look at in the last couple of years that the lack of any, you know, productive backup quarterback probably cost you two games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the Clemson game definitely
Clemson
did.
Game last year and this one, that if you have somebody who's just competent, that it is just that you try, I mean, and then the decision to go for it on your own 39 with your backup quarterback up two is – don't tell me the analytics. The analytics are different when you have Doman in there.
Versus Malik Cunningham.
Yeah, last chance UQB versus Malik.
Right. And you know, and
it's
yes.
Like, don't tell me the analytics on that. I don't want to hear it.
Probably wins you the Boston College game, but when you score 31 against Florida State and you score 33 against Boston College, that ought to be enough.
Yeah, but you also have drives that you fail. I mean, sometimes you got to put 40. What do you do his first year when they were winning? They were scoring like 50. The defense wasn't that good that year. They were scoring 50. When they had to score, they scored.
I'm gonna go look it up. So what they did was, you know, in the games they won, 38 points against Western, 41 against Boston College. They only won that game by 62 against Wake.
And what did Wake have? What was the score of that
50,
game?
62-59 because it was crazy.
right. So you would say 58 would be enough to win a game.
Right.
But that day it wasn't. So sometimes you got to get the extra
28, though, against Virginia, and then 34 against NC State. And then Syracuse, they blew the doors off.
Yeah. And so, like, when we – and maybe that's, you know, a little bit unfair when we say – you know, has Malik had, you know, a game-winning drive? He probably did that year. I'm just not remembering.
Well, Evan Conley won that Wake Forest game late, if you remember.
That's right. That's
right. So in the close games, and in the NC State game, it was Ryan Chalfo who had the moment.
What about the Virginia game? I feel like
the Virginia game, Louisville got out early. The defense was actually awesome that day against Bryce Perkins, and it was the threatened rain game that never came until
last
2 minutes. And then our defense was incredible.
And they couldn't recover an onside kick that year. I remember every team running onside kicks and getting them.
It was like onside kick.
It was unbelievable how bad they were.
We had onside kick PTSD. But Malik was fantastic in the Music City Bowl. you know, against Mississippi State. He was really good in that game. And you know, I don't know. I look at Malik Cunningham, and he's a good player. He hasn't won a lot of games, but he does need somebody to back him up. Evan Conley was okay for that Wake Forest game 2 years ago, 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
After that, when has a backup quarterback come in
and done anything? That's on both sides to me. All right, we'll continue along. We'll talk with Lloyd Gardner here in just a little bit. Visit with him if you want to hop on in. 267-9680. I've pretty much ignored the text line. I know a bunch of them are in there. I'll try to lead off the segment with that. So we'll do the best we can. Matt Stafford, he is a gutless puke. He cost me my underdog. He was the third pick'em in my underdog. I had hit the previous two and needed that one. He needed to have over 1.5 touchdowns last night. When you throw a touchdown to the other team, that doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
No,
man,
it doesn't.
That was a bad read. That was a really bad read.
Yeah. So is his underdog fantasy, that's one of the newest way for you to put your fantasy football skills to the test. I at least won a couple of my 1 week fantasy contests. We got to get some of those back in with the listeners again. We got to do that this week. And I still got to get people extra prizes who won the others. But I won one of them one of the week. That wasn't really the way it's supposed to work out. But, you know, but we'll do that. But right now, they're pick'em contests as well. Choose between 2 and 5 players, stat totals to build a pick'em entry. And you could win up to 20 times your money. So if you think a player's going to have a bad day, choose lower. A good day, go higher. Or in the case of Stafford, go lower on touchdown passes. Should have. So download the Underdog Fantasy app today and start playing. Here's what you need to do. Use my promo code Drew. That's DREW. My promo code Drew, and you get your first deposit doubled up to $100. So it's Underdog Fantasy. Terms and conditions apply.
Why?
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Nick comes to me a minute ago and says, give me a rejoin song. I'm like, it's too much pressure. I need to know before the break. So what is this now? I mean, this sounded of Spanish influence, but now it sounds of techno influence.
Oh yeah, the bass is about to drop here. This is Blaster Jackson, Timmy Trumpet, the Narcos song.
No idea. Okay.
This is the walk-up song for Edwin Diaz that's gone kind of viral.
Oh no. Okay.
And it's just
the walk-up song, and
I liked your mic the last segment. But I don't know. I don't like your mic this segment.
I keep potting him up to Pops levels.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Unlike your dad, you talk into the microphone.
Yeah,
I know, I'm constantly
blowing everyone's eardrums out.
I like it, but it fits with the Arriba and Underlay conversation that we had in the first segment.
And it coincides with National Taco Day today.
Yes.
Is National Taco Day. Yes, I just looked it up from the break. I'm like, what holiday? Look, it's National Taco Day and National Vodka Day and National Kindness to Animals Day. So I'll hug Chip, have a Focus in Vodka, and have tacos.
There we go.
I mean, there you go. There's the try.
I love that. You know, I was at the press conference that we'll have for Louisville football, we always have Chick-fil-A. But I may have to do an audible. If it's National Taco Day, I can't.
Well, you got 3 meals to choose from, you know?
I know, but I forgot breakfast.
Do you forget breakfast?
I just did.
I've
been doing really good about remembering breakfast, but this morning I was like, what am I missing? You know, when we were like walking out of the house, and I got down the street, breakfast.
Not this camper. Yeah, not me. I ain't missing that. We got plenty coming up for you here. This week we got Louisville City FC in action on Wednesday. They'll be at home against Detroit FC. That gets underway at 7:30. Tonight, it's our final Reds broadcast that we're going to care.
So sad.
Pour one out. Pour a vodka out. Hold on. Don't pour that out. Save that.
Hey, Drew, maybe next decade.
Yeah.
You know.
Even Kirk Herbstreit was talking about that the other night on whichever broadcast he does. He was like, you know, with me, with the Reds, that's his team. He's like, I kind of know 2 weeks into the season whether we're out of it or not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He was lamenting that.
Well, when you start, like, what would we start? Was it like 0-?
No,
we won the first one. We actually won the first game. It was like 1-11.
1-April. Yeah.
It was unbelievable how they started the season. So we kind of knew right away. I love the Reds. I've always loved the Reds. I make it impossible to watch Major League Baseball, so I have to listen to it on our airwaves. And but no, it's the first time. And John Salzman got us tickets, but Dad couldn't go because his back was really struggling at that point in time, right before his surgery. This is the first time in a long time I haven't made it to a Reds game this year. So had a lot going on.
Well, you
year.
Got it's a kind of a busy year for Blanket Baker.
It's been a little busy.
So pour one out for the Reds tonight. So yeah, National Taco Day, National Vodka Day, National Be Nice to Animals Day. If you're ever not nice to animals, I can't be friends with you.
No,
need to ever not be nice to an animal.
Benji and me last night, we were hanging out watching Matt Stafford throw interceptions and pick sixes. And
by the way,
hanging out.
The Manning cast is all I care about. They paid all this money for Buck and Aikman. If the Mannings are on, they're what I'm watching.
Really?
I mean, they had in the second half, it was Steph Curry and John Hamm. Who was it in the first half? I can't remember anything anymore. But it was great. I mean, they're great. They are just so good at it. And you play-by-play in TV is a misnomer anyway, you know, because you can see what's happening. And they were great with Steph Curry. I mean, Peyton's like, you know, you and I got a lot in common. We both had dads, professional athletes, and annoying little brothers, you know. And then they just go on. Eli is the butt of the jokes. He, you know, he takes some. Eli says wreck havoc, you know, in the first half. And he's like, it's wreak havoc, you know. I mean, it's like two brothers fighting. Mm-hmm. But then they got Steph Curry on for like almost the whole third quarter. And even Max is looking up at the screen like, hey, that's Steph Curry. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it looks like they had Jalen Hurts last night.
Yeah, he was
He was just okay. Yeah, a lot of those guys are.
Player is probably going to be tough.
A lot more reserved.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times they have a lot more personality than they show, but they don't want to give fodder and trash talk and things like that.
Right,
But
they're so good, and it won't work. I bet other leagues are going to try this. It won't work. You got to be the Mannings. You got to be Peyton driving that bus. You have to be able to host Saturday Night Live and be in commercials with your dry wit sense of humor. No, others will try it. No one will be anything like this Manning cast.
Oh, it's great. And I like the trivia show that they do with Cooper. It's really good. Like
Seen that.
And they have colleges, usually from the SEC, do like a trivia thing, and it's on NBC. It's really good. I think they're coming back around. It's more of a wintertime thing. They did it last year. It's really funny. Cooper is hysterical. And you know, his son Arch is obviously going to be the quarterback at Texas next year. But I don't watch the Manning cast, even though I have in the past. This year, mainly because I watch the games on mute with Al. So I get no benefit of having Eli and Peyton on there.
You need be able to Bluetooth your speaker. An earbud.
I can. The Roku device. You can do it, but I just have. You know, I'm holding a beautiful baby. I'm on cloud nine. It's bliss.
You got time
bliss.
To program the Bluetooth.
It's bliss.
You do stat breakdowns to the nth degree.
Yeah.
You rant on Twitter. You got time to take 5 minutes
when
to
I'm home
figure out that
these
Bluetooth.
Days for the last 3 weeks. It's been awesome. It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
Glowing.
Give me that 60-day speech. I need to give it to
you.
I need to pump you up, man.
When we get to those 60 days, it'll
60
change.
Days.
That's fine.
Yes,
I
it
get
will.
It. But right now, it's awesome.
You bite your teeth. Yes, it's wonderful. I love this baby. I bond with it instantly. Of course I bond with it instantly. It's my child. What am I, some sort of evil person? Make me bad? It's okay. It's okay, you know? It's okay to be looking at it going, would you smile? Do something. Let me know that you care.
She's been great. Mm-hmm. Super happy.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I had a few more things on my sheet of lies. I wanted to get the one thing before we got to Lloyd Gardner, but hell with it. I can't find it. Lloyd Gardner's on the line with us as he is every Tuesday. So, Lloyd, welcome in. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be alive.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
That's one way to look at it.
Lloyd,
we got our health. I mean, the football team's not what we thought it'd be, but, hey, we got our health.
Well, you know, it's been disappointing, but you know, I don't ever want to fire a coach in the middle of the year. Baseball, they fire the manager, They bring in the pitching coach, and the reason they're losing is because of bad pitching. So, you know, what do you do? I just want to wait and see. I want them to sign these players.
Well, you're not going to have that luxury. You're going to have to make a decision on the coach before the players.
Oh, I know. But if you got a chance of losing them all, you're really in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, the Kentucky losses were bad. I mean, stylistically, they got their teeth kicked in. There's no other way to say it. But this one was worse because you were favored, because the team was injured. They were begging to get beat. 13 penalties. Djokovic's throwing it back to whatever other New England states up there, you know,
New
near
Hampshire.
Them. Yeah, and they can't do nothing. They can do anything.
Well, it seems like we're making a lot of heroes out of a lot of quarterbacks in the past few years. So,
oh yeah, like I said yesterday, Louisville is the chicken noodle soup. If your offense is sick, we are the chicken noodle soup to your ills.
Well, we just don't have those defensive players that are just headhunters that just absolutely refuse to be blocked, refuse to be put down, and we just don't have those type people. Doesn't seem to me like, but. I'm going to hang in there. I get a press pass. I'm not ever going to talk about firing the coaches. It's just a bad situation to be in right now. We're 0-3 in the conference, and we're going to Virginia. Then we have a week off. I mean, it's going to be a long season right now the way things are, but I'm still going to pull for them and be positive and hope things work out. It's just a tough situation to be in.
But what gives you hope that it will?
I just go a week at a time. I've been in those situations. I had a team one time that was 9-7, and I got rid of a couple of guys. And I'm not saying that's what Louisville needs to do, but we won 18 games in a row and got beat in the quarterfinal state tournament by 1 point by the eventual state champion. So I don't ever give up on anybody, and I think they have good people there. But we got to get some headhunters on that defensive side of the ball. Yeah. We're scoring enough points to win.
Yeah, and it's just headhunters or just guys that can cover. I mean, you never – you know, you obviously keep a lot of stats, Lloyd. It's never a good thing when defensive backs lead your team in tackles.
No, it's not. I mean, that means they're getting way down past the line of scrimmage. And I'll tell you what, Minkins, I don't know how that guy caught that ball now.
Well, that one I don't mind. You know, it's the one where the best player on the team, their best receiver, is wide open down the middle of the field, and there's no safety.
Well, Minkins shouldn't be in that position. He shouldn't be one-on-one with Zay Flowers. I mean, you cannot ask him to do that.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, you got to tell somebody, I don't care what you do. You get on that guy, you stay on him. It's evident that every week they have somebody picked out to make sure that they have Cunningham. You're going after Cunningham if you don't go after anybody else every single play, so... It's evident people are doing that, but you got to put people on him, and don't you leave him. Don't let him get away from you. Get right up in his
good
face.
Luck.
I'd rather have a penalty than a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, Kendrick Duncan leads this team in tackles by 11. That is not good.
Who's second? You have that?
Momo. But then I think – and then let's see. Then Monty Montgomery's got 15. Hang on. I didn't sort this by tackles. I'm sorry. He leads it by 7. Ben Perry's second with 20.
Another defensive.
And then
back.
Minkins is fourth. Well, actually tied for third. So yeah. Momo and – I thought that Momo's listed as a linebacker, though.
He is. Ben Perry is a – Ben Perry's listed as linebacker and is really a defensive back. But
yeah, so three or top four tacklers are your defensive backs. That's all you need to know right there.
Well, that's all you need to know. I do think that you can go back and see how many of those were on a blitz, how many tackles they got off of a blitz and take it back, but it's still not good.
My guess is most of them are tackling a receiver that's beating
them. I think we need to blitz every play because that's the only way we have any success. Just take your chances and go after the ball.
Engage 8, Lloyd Gardner.
Yeah, 0, blitz 0 every time. It's like playing Madden. Hell, it couldn't be worse. Maybe you force a turnover. You're not getting a stop, doesn't seem like.
Well, that's the only reason I said it. I'm not coaching. I don't go to practice every day, so.
Yeah, but you can see the games. You don't have any. Well, this is results-based business on the games.
I know. Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
How old is your oldest young man? How old is your youngest child? Oldest, I'm sorry.
Oh, 11. 11.
Are you coaching him in any sports?
Her.
Her. I do not.
Are you coaching him?
No, I do not coach her.
I want you to coach, and I'm going to come down and watch, and then I'm going to come back on the radio and critique you.
That's fine.
You were off the world yesterday because I listen on Mondays too. I don't just come in on Tuesdays. I listen to.
Should have heard him in the break.
Hey Lloyd, if they want to pay me $4 million to coach youth soccer, I'll gladly be the best
and
youth soccer.
Yeah,
and give me a buyout. You're absolutely welcome to come out and critique the Santa Claus youth soccer under-12 team if I decide to coach
Blanking
at that
coacher.
Point in time. Yeah, at that point in time. And if I don't fire my defensive coach between seasons after my
you'd fire guys
mid-game.
You'd be Patino. You'd be firing guys mid-game.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Johnson would be crying in his Cheerios.
By the way, go ahead.
They reinstated the guys out at the youth league football. They thought they jumped the gun, so they reinstated the coaches. But anyway.
That were doing what again? Remind me.
The youth league football coaches that had the headset in the – Then a 10-year-old youth league.
Yeah, the AirPod. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they reinstated them.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
It is.
All over the world.
Just tape your ear up.
What's the problem? What's the problem? I don't understand the issue.
Oh, man. No, but I do agree with you on this. I think you do what Tom Jurich did with Steve Kragthorpe. You're publicly supportive until the bitter end. You let him finish out. And then if you think it's time for a change, then you do it immediately. I mean, that was – That I thought that was the way to handle it with Kragthorpe, and I think that's what Josh will do here. It was different with Chris Mack. It was time to go. He wanted out. You know, that game where he just sat on the sidelines disinterested. You know, that was as smooth as it could have been. So I think he'll do the right thing here too, which I think is to let him coach out the season unless something changes between now and then.
Well, what's really sad is the NIL, the transfer portal. I mean, everything in the world is having an effect on football and sports right now. I mean, the good teams are here. We lose one of our best receivers, goes to Alabama, who's not getting off the bench, I don't think, at Alabama. We've had some key injuries again. Now we have Cunningham possibly out. We have our running back Evans is out. We've lost our best recruit.
But hang on, Evans was in the transfer portal. They got him through the transfer portal.
You can't
bemoan it and then take advantage of it.
Well, but the transfer portal is changing. I mean, you work hard. You get these kids in that you think they're going to be starters, and then you work with them all season. They're not ready, so you probably go back to what was originally your second choice, injuries, the whole thing, the NIL. It's
not going away. I mean, I hate to break it to you and Scotty D, man. It's not going away.
I read yesterday where they're back talking about the NCAA split from football and basketball.
Everybody's always fantasizing about that.
Yeah, that's back on the table again with a bunch of athletic directors. And one of the key issues was they couldn't afford, I think it was a $20 million liability insurance policy. If the NCAA got sued, they have that policy in the split, they wouldn't be able to afford it. It's just everything's in changing in college sports particularly.
And the sport's still great. And the sport itself is still great. It's the second most popular of the NFL. They can do all these changes, and the sport is still
It's actually growing great. In popularity. I mean, it's growing.
You've got to adjust with the times, you know.
I love football Saturdays. I love watch good football. I mean, I watched the Clemson game the other night, and I thought, man, what are we going to do?
That was fantastic.
That's fantastic.
By the way, before you go, I gotta ask you here as I'm looking at this article on USA Today. Are you team candy corn or not? Do you like candy corn or not like candy corn?
I do not like candy corn at all. So that's a no.
Yeah, that's a hard pass for me too. There's an article that for many candy corn represents the reason for the season. Most of the 9 billion kernels produced annually. Are eaten around Halloween. Why you'd eat them any other time of year is beyond me. And, of course, like everything else, it's going to cost more in the past because it's going to be about 5% higher.
It's not going to cost me a penny more.
Not me, yeah.
No.
They are dreadful. They are the waxy texture is just dreadful. And they have in the article that the ingredients in candy corn may surprise you. In addition to corn syrup, salt, sesame oil, honey, artificial color, and food colorings, it also has gelatin and confectioner's glaze as ingredients.
So basically the worst thing you could put in your body.
It's a bug secretion. A bug secretion. Let me say that again. A confectioner's glaze, known as a shallot, is made from lac resin, which is a bug secretion.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Can I add something? It's not just a bug secretion. It's a bug anal secretion. True. True. I'm not.
True? Thank you, Nick.
You don't even need to read the article. You knew that off the top of your head.
Thank you, Nick.
Yes. Maybe it's a stink bug. I mean, they're out again with this
bug anal secretions. That's what you get on the way to work here. That's what you get.
And it basically is the worst thing you can put in your body.
Okay, it's up there.
Like
it's
it,
up there.
It doesn't taste good.
Why don't you and vape while you're doing it too? Yeah. Take a hit of a vape, swallow a candy corn,
and drink Mountain Dew.
yeah, jolt. Yeah. So there you go. All right, Lloyd.
I don't need candy corn. That's for sure.
All right. Well, we'll see you at the next tailgate, and we will not have candy corn. That'll be banned, I promise.
Well, that's good, because I don't need any, so if you want it for somebody else, but not me.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. That's Lloyd Garner. Nick, you knew that off the top of your head.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yes, it is weird.
Yeah, no, I know. But I read it like in a Cracked article or something. It was like 10 facts that gross you out about food or something like that.
This one doesn't say what part. This just USA Today just says secretion. But you know what? I will defer to you when it comes to knowing the ingredients of candy corn. This feels like it's been a V-show, like, raging
staple.
Debate. Yes.
It's been a part of their annual October discussions that they have.
I know candy corn is very polarizing.
Yes,
but
it is.
I think you and I can agree. You turned me on to this, actually.
What?
The greatest non-traditional Oreo flavor
is
candy corn Oreos. Like, I will I will go to war about that.
You know what? Because it doesn't taste like candy corn that much.
Do
they still make it?
Do
they?
I think so.
There's so many
damn
flavors of Oreos.
What are the yellow ones?
The yellow one, I forgot.
Those are the best.
Those are the best. Like the spring ones?
They're yellow. I don't know if they're white. I don't know what the...
But you can't give Oreos out at Halloween.
Well, are they yellow or are they white? You're kind of jumping all over here. How am I supposed to
know? They're yellow. It's yellow packaging.
Those are the golden Oreos.
They're the best.
Yeah.
We sure wasn't birthday cake, Nick. I thought it was
birthday cake. Birthday cake slaps, too. It could be a one. It could be a 1-1A situation.
Yeah.
But I remember you coming in here and you... You know, the
speltest
man in the office was talking mad spit about cookies, and I was like, Drew, okay, you know, love you. This ain't your lane.
It was.
Let me try. Tried the cookie. Can confirm candy corn Oreos. The VP was 1,000% right. Them and birthday cake are it's 1 and 1A. But I'm telling you, Blake, you're talking about the golden Oreos.
I like the golden
the vanilla ones. Cookies. Yep. With the vanilla. The candy corn Oreos are that vanilla cookie. It's not the chocolate cookie, but it has the the candy corn icing. Trust me, if you like the golden Oreos,
I'll try
these.
But here's the thing:
if I can find
it was
on
the summertime. It was like early summer, late spring, and I'm dipping a regular Oreo in milk.
Yeah.
My daughter's like, "What are you doing?"
Whoa!
And I'm like, "What are you talking about? This is how you're supposed to eat Oreos."
Agreed.
She'd never seen it before.
Well, that's on you as a parent.
I was like, "I failed."
That's on you.
I failed.
That's on you as a parent.
And then it was like a life change moment. Like, how you're supposed to eat Oreos.
When Max left the football game early, and he said, "Well, we leave Louisville games early."
It's my fault.
That's on me.
I failed.
That's on me.
I note that.
That hit me in the gut. When I thought his very first high school football game was a double overtime win at home to beat a 2-time state champ from Indianapolis, break a 30-game winning streak. He left early and didn't think anything of it because, well, we leave Louisville games early.
Yeah. It was your fault.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
What direction are we taking these kids?
Yeah, you're right. All right, we're taking this show to hour number two here eventually as we roll along here this morning. Don't forget about our friends over at Fitness Market. Man, the flooring changes everything. If you've got a workout room, maybe it's just a bedroom that's where your treadmill's in and you got some weights, rip that carpet out. I mean, if you're not going to use it for anything else, get that flooring in. It's just the vibe is so different. You know, so now I have a gym down the hall, I feel like, here with my Fitness Market. You know, treadmill. They've now got Life Fitness over there. So they've got all the brands. They've been taking care of people for over 20 years, the Widers have. And you're going to see, you know, family businesses. I mean, you love family businesses. They're out there working hard. They're in it together. And man, the flooring. They did it at our gym up here at the clubhouse. They'll take great care of you over there at Fitness Market, online at thefitnessmarket.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER NOW for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Injured in a car accident? Visit suedistracteddriver.com.